Yeah, so I'm going to talk about a subject this morning that, well, like it goes, it's not what I consider a glorious, you know, subject of eternal bliss that has all the promises wrapped up in it of eternal life after this life. It's more to do with things pertaining to the here and the now. And I always, my mind often goes to those things, and I guess they need to be talked about. That's the only thing I know to get out of it, but because that's where we're at. We're in the here and the now. We're given a kingdom that has eternal promises, and we can for sure have hope in that, and we can, in a certain sense, already have eternal life in this life. So my subject has to do with stress, just plain old stress. Just one of those things that we can't totally avoid it. I want to go to Hebrews 12 and read a verse there, just to bring a little bit. Clarity to it. Hebrews 12:3 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him," this is the verse, "for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye weary and faint in your minds." Consider him that endured such, you might say, a better word might be opposition of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. And I chose that verse more because I think this is the kind of stress that people in the past largely faced, was the opposition of sinners against, like the opposition of people against Jesus. I mean, in his flesh, it created some stress for him. And I want to just hopefully lay out how I think that he went through this, and how I think that it just was something to go through rather than something to avoid. But it's something how it can take you as far as, I know, I heard a story long ago of a lady that died. That she was diagnosed as just having died from stress. And that's really sobering. We don't know many people that just, they die, and the, you know, maybe an autopsy is done, and nothing can be figured out other than it just plain stress that brought the end. It was a story of a storm victim in Hurricane Katrina. In 2005, there was that hurricane, and then I heard this story, I think, from a couple of different people from down there, that this lady didn't have a heart attack, she didn't have an aneurysm, but she died. She was just dead, and she was healthy, and her husband and her were climbing the ladder to get away from the rising water. It was up to the spouting of their roof, and they were on the roof. And when they were found, she was dead and he was alive. And he said he doesn't know why she died other than, you know, heart attack or something. Well, the autopsy showed that she didn't have that on her heart, but that it was apparently just stress from the situation. And so that's how it goes. I think, you know, not many of us know people that died from stress, but we're all somehow affected by it. Stress is one of those things that it has no respect of persons. It can grip the victim with nervous breakdowns and anxieties and ill will, mental health disorders, and even physical health disorders. And you know, it could go on and on, just kind of seeing how that mental state of stress can do something to a person. And on one hand, you'd like to think, well, you know, a Christian won't ever face stress. He's just living a carefree life in the Lord, right? Well, that would be something close to ignoring or denying the fact that there's spiritual warfare. And so I want to just promote this morning how there's a remedy, and that there's a false remedy in some ways that the world offers. And I'm impressed with a few things. Let me just say a few things before I get to that. What I believe about stress is that it's the reaction of the nerve system when something happens that we perceive as a threat in our life, right? Like, in some ways, I even felt that a bit when I was putting my thoughts together this morning. It's that thing, and granted, like, it can be real. It's not something that someone that's stressed out is just somehow not a Christian. It's one of those things that can be real, because also to deny that would be to deny that we don't have threats in life. We do. We're threatened on every hand, you might say, you know, within and without. There's threatenings, and I think the nerve system within our body has to somehow absorb that. So I want to just say again how that those things can be real. They can feel real. They can have valid substance to them. But on the other hand, they can be totally fake. They can be totally blown out of proportion. They can be imagined stress. And I kind of think that a low level of stress is very acceptable for a Christian, because of the warfare and the battle we're in. But like high levels, continued stress, day after day, year after year, I think it deteriorates the walk with God, or the faith we have in God. Like, that is not healthy. That is, there is a point where when Jesus, okay, I'll get to some of those things. I wanted to kind of stick with my notes, because I just put this together kind of quick, and I feel like I have to stick with my notes. The false remedy for the world is it just says avoid it. Just make room for more vacations and more fun, and in this way you'll be stress-free. Often what happens is the person still has to come back to reality. And then what is left is another load of stress. And I kind of perceive my view of things, even though I'm just living here 40 some years, which is a little spectrum of time, barely a chip in the history of time. But I perceive that there's more stressed out people today, with all the solutions that what's that big word, psychologists, chemists, and so on. All the things they have to offer is way enhanced above what we've had, what the world has had hundreds of years ago. And yet, somehow the stress level, I think, is higher than it would have been back in the day when there was plain old peasants. They didn't have much of a worldview. They didn't have much of an understanding outside of their little world. You know what I mean? Like, I might be wrong. I don't know that. There's always been warfare. There's always been, you know, people. In Jesus' time, there was demon-possessed people. There was people that were out of their mind. They were lunatics. Yeah, I acknowledge that. I'm more talking about people that claim to be sound, yet they're loaded down with stress today. Okay, so avoid it. Find more fun to release yourself from stress. And then, on the other hand, like, you have people promoting, without Christ, promoting, like, to find relief for yourself in expressing yourself. And this is just short little terms that it's not wrong to express yourself, it's good to express yourself. But what I want to get to is that all these things, I'm so impressed. This is just a point that I'm impressed with through the Bible. It's the little words, the little prepositional words like through or in or of, and they're interesting little words because those little words describe something pretty important for the Christian walk, and that is like in our stress we come to a better life through Jesus. You know what I mean? Like through, again, like the verses that talk about his yoke being easy and his burdens light. What I take out of that is that you can't avoid, or you can't try to just eliminate the yoke, but he brings it in an invitation, like inviting you to yoke up with him, and in that way it'll be useful. In that way his yoke will benefit us. We already know in physical exercise it works that way. We get stronger in physical exercise, and we know that you know, people that don't do that and they don't exercise hardly anything, they just sit around. Some people, of course, are limited to that, and I for sure want to acknowledge and sympathize with that, but those people usually aren't very strong, and there's a reason to it, because exercise makes someone stronger. And of course, the greatest master and teacher knew all that, and that's why he taught in such ways that in and through him, and the Apostle Paul is largely who I'm talking about, that's how he wrote things. And the Hebrew writer, there's so many places like through faith they conquered cities, through faith they this and they that. And then Paul talks about that we receive the promise through sanctification. I feel like I'm going kind of fast, but this is just an opening, so I just want to kind of exercise your thoughts in that way. Through the Spirit is another phrase that Paul uses. Through suffering, through the Lord Jesus, those are all things that the world doesn't offer, but they offer that you can find relief from stress through, you know, these different things that have to do with finding happiness just within yourself. Like you just focus on what you're lacking and how something hurts within yourself. And then you exercise yourself away from that so that you feel better. That makes sense? And if that doesn't work, just take the pill. Just take an anti-stress pill. That's the world's offer to the problem of stress. But I want to also acknowledge how that true repentance and remorse for sin, it takes away the awful load of sin. And in that way, like, that's kind of like a disclaimer against what I'm saying, because like that repentance, remission of sin, it has such a freeing application to itself that we can't dismiss that away from this subject. I'm just pointing out how that it's totally normal though in this walk, in this spiritual warfare, to experience some stress. But again, like there's long-term overwhelming types of stress that we're not meant to enter into. We have that, I think. I think there's something to matter. But the kind of stress that we can see a purpose in it, we search the Lord and we can see how, you know, this is needful to go through, and we have the hope of eternal life and those things, then we can go through some stress. And I think another thing just to remember is how there'd be different levels of stress that people can handle. Generally, I think men or husbands do better with stress than wives and sisters. There's probably some disclaimer to make against that, but I think that's generally like the God-given order to it, and how to handle and manage it is figure out his role in humanity, and that helps with handling it. I think low levels of stress is manageable, and it can be handled in and through the Lord Jesus, but we need to find these truths and values and how God wants us to go through them. It's interesting that text I'm referring to about Jesus saying that, "Come unto me, ye that are heavy laden, burden heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Can someone finish that? "Take my yoke upon you." Yeah. The beginning of that in there in Matthew 11 has to do with he's crying out in prayer before the Lord. And he's saying, "Everything that I have is from you. And no one knows you except through me. And no one knows the Father except..." It's a long, like... it's the Lord in anguish, like crying out to the Lord. And then he ends it in that way. And I just find that really encouraging how... that's the thing to... That's the main part of that passage, is the Lord doing that. And I think he's realizing that we will, you know, if we yoke up with him, we will be in the same state. Like, we have to cry out to the Father too. And so I see that passage more as an invitation, not like, "Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to go through this yoking up with Jesus," but more like a help. And I think that's why throughout Hebrews, there's these verses about him being a helper in the time of need. And he helps us through. Again, that propositional word "through" is so important to notice as we read these scriptures. Yeah, and so who would be a better teacher than just Jesus in these ways? Like, he understood for a student to go and make it through this life, he needs to face some difficult things. And that's the nature of a fallen world. But then the hope in the fallen world is that through and in him, you know, we can yoke up with him and have true eternal victories, you know, things that lead to eternal life. I feel like I'm missing a few passages here, but just really impressed with those thoughts. The promise of the easy yoke by Jesus is that he will not eliminate it. To say that would be to deny the spiritual warfare. But that we are in it, and he will help us through it. You know. I want to read about that guy in Acts 3 that Peter healed him, and the kind of things he said about that. Acts chapter 3, verse 16. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And then more verses like that would be like Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I think it's such an important thing to note that. And then 2 Timothy, another thing that you can find that I think I haven't noticed the importance of, there's two different places in the epistles that it talks about through the gospel. I think I'm getting to one in 2 Timothy 1 verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. hath abolished death and has brought life, immortality. But like if we go on through, we have to know what the gospel is. Like, we have to know and understand the gospel, because that's how it all happens, like going through with the gospel. And that to me is like this thing. It'd be a whole different message to like explain and expound on the gospel, but it's just simply the good news of the good news of a people group, which is all of us, having been in the bondage of the devil. Maybe not even that everyone just is in the bondage of habitual sin, but like we're in the influence of bondage, and we're influenced that way in our flesh and our nature and our habits. That's how we're born. And through like faith in the gospel, through the gospel we receive, and we're brought life and immortality. Okay, now I'm going to go to Colossians 1, something similar that stuck out to me there. Okay, Colossians 1, verse 19 is where I'll jump in and start. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say there, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And then, there's that little word again, if you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be moved, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and have preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. There we have that phrase, the hope of the gospel, that stood out to me, and just how we have to continue in faith, grounded and settled, and not be moved away from the hope of the gospel. And in light of my subject, it seems like that should be, one of those things that helps us through. We can see him being a helper in that way. And so now Hebrews 2, I think I had alluded to that one, but I want to cover Hebrews 2. Verse 10 says, For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captive of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. And so the hope of getting through stressful situations is this yoking up, and this is like, I think this is like another expression of the same thing. Finding ourselves and finding the fullness of every situation in Christ, like we saw in Colossians, and then here, just seeing the heart, like the heart of Jesus, wanting to bring sons into glory, and that would make them perfect, that would make their salvation perfect, but it has to come through suffering. And there's that word, that propositional word, suffering. I think I have that term right. And so, I don't want to make this long, I just intended to say a few of those things, and maybe the most unsettling thing I've said is just that we can't really avoid it. It's just going to be there. And I want to make it clear, though, that stress in a low level is something that's manageable, is something we can expect as we go through this life. And that might be kind of, I think it's a reality, but we have to just accept that and find the right terms how to go through. But my final word would be, but I hope to leave you with a comfort that this can be managed through Christ Jesus by faith in Him. And it will all end if we make it faithfully in this life. Like if we faithfully keep ourselves, if we faithfully endure, you know, we'll be saved. That's what Jesus said. He that endures to the end will be saved. And so God bless you. Be sure to share your thoughts and comments and corrections on that.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Atlee. I think you touched all bases. I like how you started out by saying, well, you read Hebrews 12, and looking unto Jesus, the author of our faith, and you ended it by, that's the solution, is our faith. In fact, John says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And of course, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the biggest stress that Jesus had was probably in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he, oh, man, let this cup pass from me 3 times. But then, as Hebrews 12 said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross and despised the shame. So counting the cost is very important, I think, for stress, for anyone who wants to be a Christian. You have to say, well, this is what's going to happen. You know, Dijon, you may be cast in prison. You know, you still want to be a Christian? Okay. And I like how you said low-level stress. I complained when I was in my 30s in Phoenix to an elder in the Church of Christ. The traffic in Phoenix is just terrible, you know. I says, I know I deliver pizza and all this, and the traffic in Phoenix, this is, man, no one ever, it's not like Joplin. It's more like St. Louis or Kansas City, and I was complaining about it. That's not stress. And people who go to Honduras or Mexico, when they have to wait in line for a doctor, sometimes they have to wait hours before they can see the physician. In this country, man, I've been waiting a half hour in urgent care, and nothing's happening. So, you know, we need patience and stress. And they say, someone could say about the cocoon, you've heard this before, you probably explain it better than me, about the cocoon, that is, a.k.a. the butterfly, when it's in the cocoon, it has to keep pushing and fighting and working hard, and then eventually it pulls itself out and it comes out as a beautiful butterfly. May the Lord be magnified. One thought I forgot was when James says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. And so we have to look at it as joy. Amen.
Yeah, thank you, brother. I just say amen. It's good to... good to talk about those kind of things, because, as you said, I think they are a part of everyone that's serious-minded, and every Christian should be serious-minded. In fact, I think someone that doesn't face stress probably takes life too casually or something. And just like... just like true courage is not an absence of fear, but it's a power from God to go through fear and conquer it, so is a peace that passes understanding is not an absence of stress, but something from God to go through it without despairing, without succumbing to... yeah, despair or depression or whatever. I had the same thought Brother Robert did about Jesus was certainly under stress in the Garden of Gethsemane, but he found his pathway forward in coming to a place where from the heart he could say, not my will, but thy will be done. Thank you.
Praise to God immortal. Raise up.